Thank you for tuning in to the weekly podcast from San Jacinto Assembly of God in Amarillo, Texas. If you'd like to know more about our church, visit us online at www.sjag.church. Now, here's this week's message.
We're in the book of Proverbs. We're going to be there for a couple of scriptures and this morning. You know, yesterday we celebrated our country's 250th year anniversary. Millions of dollars went up in smoke as fireworks were purchased and lit. I know that because I helped in the store, and it amazes me what people spend on fireworks. I'm just thinking, my budget was like $20. But you know, many people partied the whole weekend, having a long weekend, while some perhaps reflected on the fact that it has been God's hand that has allowed us to be free in this free country for these last 2.5 centuries. Some reflected on that very thing. You know, when I say that, I know that's a statement that someone kind of raised their eyebrow at me. But did you know that in Job's chapter 12, verse 23, it is told to us that he makes nations great, he destroys them, and he enlarges nations and guides them. In other words, God is able to set up a nation and take a nation down. In Acts 17, 26, we also read this, "And he has made from one blood every nation of men to dwell on all the face of the earth, and has determined the preappointed times and the boundaries of dwellings." Can I say this morning that we're celebrating 250 years this weekend because of God? Because according to Scripture, God is the one that establishes the nation, and that this nation that we call the land of the free is because God has allowed us to be here. Amen? All the atheists, liberal, and left-wing people can argue until they're blue in the face that God had nothing to do with establishing this country, but still be absolutely wrong. Because God sets up and God takes down. God allows and God says no more. God is always and has been the one that allows nations to rise and nations to fall. And I know there's a lot of argument. Those against that ideal, they can slander our forefathers' faith and lives and still be absolutely wrong. They can twist and try to rewrite the American history and still be absolutely wrong. I punched in my title to this message with AI, and here's AI's response to what I said about America's God's ideal. The concept that America is God's idea is a powerful and highly debated belief. I like that. Powerful and highly debated belief. In other words, I stirred up a bee's nest with AI. But the fact is this, and I declare this morning, according to the living word of God, that this nation exists only because God wanted it to exist. Amen? And we get to celebrate because of him. But listen, I've noticed our nation seems to have many issues in 2026. Even though God himself established this nation. And I don't think I have to encourage you much to point out a few problems in our nation. I don't believe I have to just really pull them out because I believe you all see them. But I believe our problems in this country today is because we have forgotten God. We ignored God. And we have accepted every religion that comes along and have given every religion priority over Christianity. Now, I'm not speaking lies this morning. I'm speaking truth. We have placed many gods above the one true God in this country. Whether we realize it or not, we have. A lot of things have taken his place. Just look in the house of God or see what takes place on the weekend. We've totally rebelled against God's word, or either that, or we've watered it down in the pulpits and the preaching of the word, or sharing the gospel. We talked about that this morning in Sunday school class, what would cause us to compromise the gospel if we shared it with somebody. Can I tell you, a lot of the compromise we share, or the why we compromise the word today, is that we're trying to build our own agenda and our own purpose. In this great country that we call God's country, Christianity, we see the house of God is forsaken many times over and over again. And listen, I can stand up here all morning long for the next 35 minutes and talk about things that this country has really been doing wrong today. But can I tell you this? There is a proverb that will be proving right for this nation and many in it if we do not change our ways. And that proverb is 14, verse 12. It says, there's a way that seems right to a man, but its end is the way of death. Can I tell you, just because we believe it's the right way doesn't mean it's the right way. And I believe today that we need to understand that there is a way that seemeth right unto man, but the end thereof is death. But there's another Proverbs that has proven to be true for this nation in the past. And that Proverbs is 14, chapter 14, verse 34. It says, the righteous exalts a nation. Righteousness exalts a nation, but sin is a reproach to any people. Righteousness exalts a nation, but sin is a reproach to any people. When we look at that particular Proverbs, and that's the one I want to spend some time on this morning, and I'm really wanting to preach a short message in order for us to do something at the end of the message. I want to make this statement this morning. I know our president wants to make America great again. But I'm going to make this statement. He does not quite understand what made America great to start with. I get the purpose and the ideal. I understand the saying of it. But I think we've missed the point. And I believe this proverb speaks in the fact of why we were a great nation and why the blessings of God was upon it. And the first thing I want to mention is righteousness is the key that causes God's face to shine on a nation. Righteousness is the key that causes God's face to shine on a nation. Nelson's Illustrated Bible Dictionary says righteousness is this. Now listen to the definition. It's holy and upright living in accordance with God's standard. The word righteousness comes from a root word that means straightness. Straightness. I've told you before, I always thought it was ironic that when Paul met Jesus on the road to Damascus, he sent him to a road called Straight. Because he sent Ananias to go to the road called Straight. I think that's something that's in the background saying, hey, if you're going to come to serve the Lord, get straight. Let it be part of your life. And so we find this, that righteousness means also straightness. It refers to the state that confirms to an authoritative standard. Righteousness is a moral concept. God's character is the definition and source of all righteousness. God's character is the definition and the source of all righteousness. Therefore, the righteousness of human beings is defined in terms of God's terms, not our terms, but in the terms of God. When we think about how it comes, where do we get right living? It comes from God Himself. He puts inside of each one of us what we call a conscience. And that is what we feel when we don't do something right. We feel guilt. But before we feel the guilt, we have a struggle. How many of you remember the struggle? It was once illustrated the struggle was like having a little angel over here and a little devil on this shoulder. How many remember those illustrations? And the devil talking loud and the angel saying no and he's saying yes. But that's called the struggle of righteousness. Because every righteous act comes from God. It is the form that comes down from the heaven up above. And he's instilled within us, whether you're saved or whether you're not saved, we all are born with a conscience that reflects who our Creator is. So he speaks of this thing, Nelson's Dictionary, therefore the righteousness, and then he goes on, he says, this upright living is also living with morals. Morals. We don't talk about that anymore. But living in morals. Did you know our forefathers understood this very thing? Congress in 1782, been a while back, approved the use of the Bible in schools. They even paid for them with tax dollars. And in 1844, when someone sued to remove them, the Supreme Court said this: why should not the Bible, especially the New Testament, be read and taught as a divine revelation in the schools? Where's that? In America. Why shouldn't the Bible be read and taught in our schools? Not just being able to carry them, but actually opening them up and teaching out of the Bible for divine revelation. This was the decision from the Supreme Court in 1844. And it also went on, where can the purest principles of morality? Listen to what they said. Our Supreme Court said, where in the Bible are the supreme purest principles of morality on how to live is found in here. Who is that? That's our government, our Supreme Court, proclaiming that in a decision when someone says, let's take them out of the school in 1844. They said, this is a map for our nation. This is the map for how we treat one another. This is the map on how we live our lives. This is the map that guides us and directs us in the order that we have good morals in a country. And where else can they be so clearly or so perfectly found other than the New Testament? Did you get that? The purest principle of morality was spoke of in the Word of God. This nation once held the Bible as a compass to its moral standards. What did the Bible say about your relationship? What did the Bible say about the marriage? What did the Bible say about how we treat one another? What did the Bible say about how we do business deals? It was found in the Word of God and taught in the schools of how we were to do things. Maybe that's why we had great statesmen that rose up and they weren't there for the money, but they were there for the morality of our country. Come on now. How many know money is not a bad thing? I like it if y'all got extra. But I'm going to tell you, it's the love of money that causes the root of all evil. And it corrupts man for whatever they're looking for. But back in that day, there were actually men and women that cared for the country and the morale of the morals of the country. And they would serve as statesmen. This Bible, the book, was taught in school and literally had impacted lives of generation upon generation. Back then, church and God were a big deal in our nation. God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Christianity was also the only accepted religion in America. Now, I probably said something that just got me in trouble with someone. But it was the only accepted religion. It was John Jay, the first Chief Justice and father of the Supreme Court, who wrote this. It is the duty of our Christian nation to select and prefer Christians for their rulers. Now, that would be a bold statement today, wouldn't it? because that's not what our leaders look like today. It was the state of Delaware, along with most of the others, which required office holders to take an oath affirming their Christian faith before they could take office. Where at? I'm not talking about any other, I'm talking about America today and how it was formed and what people say that we weren't a Christian nation. But I beg to differ with you this morning, because we were founded by God. We were ordained by God, and God gave us Christian men and women as leaders, and our nation was all about Christianity. Listen, Noah Webster, I'm having a hard time this morning, whose dictionary standardized American English, declared this: the moral principles and precepts contained in the scripture ought to form the basis of all civil constitutions and law. What we find in the word, the proof, my friend, was in the pudding. We were truly blessed as a nation at that time. America was protected and directed by God from the very start. Think about this just for a moment. The British Empire at that time possessed the most powerful fighting forces on the face of the earth. The ones that we rebelled against, the English, they had the most powerful army there was. After all, we are celebrating 250 years, and when we became free, we're talking about the freedom from the British. We find the ragtag assembly of volunteers, farmers, and tradesmen who composed the ranks of the Continental Army were outmanned, outgunned, outfinanced. Only a miracle could have brought forth what we experienced, and that was the freedom that we had. God had to be in it. Does God help nations that serve Him? Yes. He's still helping Israel. I don't care whether you like Israel or not. I'm telling you today, God is still for Israel. God has supernaturally delivered them and kept them in that country. What for? For a purpose. And if you've been following me on Wednesday night, I'm telling you the purpose is that they will all be redeemed that are still there, for that are in the land when Jesus comes back on that second coming, and they're all going to see Him who they pierced, and they're all going to receive Him as Lord and Savior of their life. Are they Christian now? No, but some of them are. But God works supernaturally time in and time again for this nation to give us victory, to help us to overcome. Have we had bad times? Yes, we've had bad times, but God has been with us. Oh, I'm telling you, I'm glad I didn't go through the depression, but God was even there at that moment. How many know God was with us when we went through COVID? I can't tell you where COVID came from. I hear conspiracies and all that, but let me tell you something. Unless I was there to see it happen, I can't really tell you the truth. I mean, you know, that's a good thing to live by. Don't get bent out of shape or try to say that happened or this happened and you never were there. I have found one thing I found a lot of things to be true, but here's the one that is true. That if you've heard it from somebody else, it may not be the exact thing that happened. It may look like it, sound like it a little bit. And I don't think we need to get bent out of shape over a lot of the conspiracy things that are been spoke out there. I'm going to tell you, one day we'll know it all. Amen? Don't let it stress your life out. Just keep on living. But we understand today that God has had His hand upon this nation. He's protected us. He's brought us through difficult times. He's protected the Christians in this nation and brought them through difficult times. He sent you bread that's out up on the water in those times of need. God has done that time in and time again for our nation today. I believe He has tried to wake us up a time or two. He could have destroyed us completely, but through the mercy of God, hallelujah, we're still here today, 250 years later. Why? Because God has set this nation up. Amen? He has set this nation up. He has prospered this nation. I'm going to tell you, we are spoiled when it comes to a lot of different nations today. Spoiled. I've told y'all, and y'all laugh every time I say this, that I went on a mission trip to Cancun. But let me tell you, you get past the resort area of Cancun, and you get deeper into the little island there, and you're going to find people that work for $300 a month. You're going to find people that having a hard time. You go through there and you look at highline wires, and literally look like a spider web where they would just throw wires up on the highline wires and get their electricity for their houses. Matter of fact, the electricity that we was using to rebuild the district office there was directly hooked up. No fuse box, no nothing. And I thought, that didn't look very safe. I'm just saying today, this country has prospered. Why? God has shined his face upon this nation more than once. Why? Because he has chose to do that. But look at our America today, just for a few moments. For nearly 200 years, the Bible was not just a religious text. It was the bedrock of American identity, education, and governance. But in 1963, the Supreme Court ruled 8-1. Listen, we're talking about the same Supreme Court back in 1844 stood up for the Bible. And here in 1963, 8-1, it's not even a close vote, that mandatory Bible reading in prayer in public schools are unconstitutional. In other words, no longer teaching the Bible and no longer mandatory for our kids to hear the Bible, no more was it mandatory for them to have prayer. Can I say something about this just for a moment? Young people need to have people over them telling them what to do. Got three of you agreeing with me this morning. I want you to hear this. Since 1963, America has witnessed a steady erosion of moral clarity. Crime rates spiked in the decades that would follow, with violent crime nearly doubling between 1960 and 1980. Divorce rates soared, climbing from 2.2 per 1,000 people in 1960 to 5.2 by 1980. The sexual revolution, fueled by rejection of biblical ethics, brought abortion on demand, pornography, and the breakdown of the family unit. And by 2025, the nation faces crises of drug addiction, mental health issues, and culture division, all symptoms of a society that have drifted from its moral, spiritual roots, which were found in the Word of God. They can say it doesn't make a difference, but go look at the history of our nation and understand the Bible was truly making a difference in a country that God had ordained to be. I'll just go off the track just for a moment. Just around here in Amarillo, we almost have a homicide every week in a small town of 200,000 people. Kids shooting kids. It was said by one kid, "I don't fight, I shoot." You know what that meant? I kill. Growing up, we used to fight one another, then we was best buddies for the rest of the year. Things have changed, and why have they changed? Because they're not being taught the Word. The Bible has really been a light to this country until 1963, and then it changed. We need a return back to the righteousness in this country that we once had, which would be a return back to the Bible. And I want to tell you this morning. We need a return of the Bible in the church. Not worship, not a 45-minute smoke service. We need to return back to the preaching of the word that makes people uncomfortable. Amen. The preaching of the word that makes your shoes no longer shiny, that Johnny just can't stand it because your shoes aren't shined. He tells me that every now and then about mine. I need to do a better job. But we need to return back to what the Bible says and not the opinion of every preacher out there or every preacher, so-called preacher on the internet. We need to return back to the Word of God because the Word of God made us a great nation. The Word of God prospered this nation, and the Word of God has sustained this nation, and God is calling this nation back to repentance because it is what we need today in this country. We need to return back. The word exalt in that scripture means to raise in rank, power, or character. To elevate by praise or estimation. Nations that follow God's standards, they are governed by His holy word, are great nations. Great nations. I'm going to tell you today, the only reason it has made this nation great is because our commitment to God. And if we let our commitment to God start to fade, then we'll no longer be the great nation we were. Nations that turn to God, they are exalted according to God's word and His principles. The most obvious illustration is Israel. When we look at Israel, when they obeyed God, they prospered. When they turned their back on God, they literally lost almost everything they had. Can I tell you this morning? Sometimes we don't get it, but I think we should understand it. I thought of this many decades ago or several decades ago that, you know, we don't realize it, but, you know, when you unplug a refrigerator, it takes a moment or two for it to get hot. And it's the same thing with our spiritual life. When we get it unplugged, it takes a moment or two before we start realizing that God's blessing was what was keeping us going. And eventually those blessings get out of our life. I'm saying today that our country has been unplugged. It's time it gets plugged back in. It's time that we realize it's plugged into the Holy Spirit that kept us blessed, kept us prospered. And it's time that we, not for those deals, but the fact we need to turn back to a holy God. Because it's there that we need to get back to. It doesn't happen overnight. There's nobody in this house backslides overnight. We backslide a little bit at a time. It's a little bit like that preacher that didn't like where the piano was on the platform. He's having a hard time with it, and instead of just moving it all at once, come on, I want to tell you how preachers think. He moved it an inch a week. And nobody ever noticed that it was no longer in the same place. And that's exactly what it's like when we unplug from God. Or we start to do this and that. We just barely move, and before we know it, we're so far from Him. It's like drifting on a raft in the lake and not paying attention. You were close to the shore, and the next thing you're out there in the middle of the lake about to be ran over by a boat. How do I know that? I've been there. Our nation has been exalted because of God. Israel, when they served God, was exalted. When they did not, it was so much. I read about Solomon just the other day. And Solomon, when he was serving God, was the greatest nation in the kingdom there was. The Bible said that silver was worthless in Solomon's kingdom because gold was so much of abundance and the riches. There were kings that came from all over the place to see how he ran the kingdom, even queens that came. They were exalted when they came after God. Listen, I believe with Bible reading and prayer that this country's been trying to do in the last few months, I believe it's on the right track. But church, we don't need Washington to lead. We need the church to start leading. Amen? We need the church to start leading because the church is the one that's called by God. But what hinders us, our nation, right now from being great again? Listen, The abundance of sin is in this nation has caused an outcry unto God. The abundance of sin. Jonah chapter 1, 2 says this, "Arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and cry against it, for their wickedness has come up to me." Can I tell you, we're still serving the same God. Their wickedness came up to them. Genesis 18, 20, "And the Lord said, because of the outcry against Sodom and Gomorrah, it is great, and because their sin is very grave." He's talking to Abraham, and he said, because of their sin has reached his office. How many of you remember being called to the office or the principals? You knew that whatever you did had reached the office. I knew by experience several times. Hosea 7:2 says this, "They do not consider in their hearts that I remember all their wickedness. Now their own deeds have surrounded them, and they are before my face." What's that saying? We're saying God, we're easy to say God the same today and forever, but I'm going to tell you, sin still reaches God's throne room. And when a nation that has been ordained by God, established by God, gave the torch of the gospel of Jesus Christ to, and when it goes into deep sin, I'm going to tell you, we are just fooling ourselves if we don't think God's paying attention. Because he is. What's keeping us from being exalted is what we're allowing on. It says sin is reproach. Reproach means expression of disapproval, disappointment, or of critics. Listen, David commits a sin with Bathsheba, and he writes this in Psalms 51. "Against you and you alone have I sinned. Against you and you alone have I sinned," is what he writes to her, or writes to God. I'm going to tell you today, our sin is before our Father, our Savior, and the Holy Spirit. As a nation, we're not sinning just before one another. We are sinning before God. Listen, church. Other than Israel, there is not another nation that has had so much light and blessing given to it from God than this nation we live in. Our nation has been blessed. We've been used by God, and God has helped us supernaturally. And our sin, our nation has sinned, and it continues to sin in so many ways. And time does not allow me. I don't want to go on to that. But even the church in this great country needs revival. So if we truly want this nation to be great again, it's going to take more than a man wearing a red hat that says MAGA. Come on. I get it. Having a good economy does not make this nation great again. What makes this nation great again is that we get back to the God that has brought us here. Back to the God of our forefathers. I have no idea why he allowed America to come to this land and become a great nation. You'll have to ask God that later. But I know this much, when a nation turns their back on God or they serve other gods, he is good to root them out. Israel was going to the promised land, and God said, "These people's sin, I am tired of it, I'm moving them out." Why do we think we would be any different? Will we have a 300 here in America if the Lord does not come? Will we get to continue to go if we don't turn back to the God? I'm going to tell you, when we know Christ, when we know the gospel, the message of Jesus Christ, there's more responsibility when you know the truth as a nation. It's going to take more than money in our hand. We need a country that's going to turn back to God. Amen? We need a country. And my friend, I'm going to tell you where it starts. Go to that next slide there, would you? 2 Chronicles. I know we hold this. We were talking about this yesterday after prayer in the sanctuary, yesterday morning at 9 o'clock. If my people who call by my name, how many know I can break this down? I can preach that another 40 minutes if y'all want me to. but I'm not. It says, my people are called by my name. How many of you know that we are called by Jesus' name? The world is not called by his name. If we expect the world to change, then we'll never see it. It's the responsibility of the church today. It's the responsibility to lift Jesus up, not the church. We are to talk about the groom, not the church. Because, see, it is all about the groom. It says, my people will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways. I will hear from heaven and will forgive their sins and restore, what? Their land. You've read it. If you've been in church, you've heard it. We've had this about revival. They didn't even use that yesterday in the prayer 250. And they used, we outlined the Lord's Prayer in Matthew 6. But friends, I just want us to spend some moments here. If you would, I want to invite you down to the altar. And let's pray for our country right now, just for a little bit. Are you his people? If you're his people, I want you to find a place. And if you can't make it to the altar, I just want you to pray there in your chair. But if you would, put on some music if you can there, Mitch. And let's believe God. Amen. If you'll just come down, and we're just going to spend some few moments in closing. But what's going to make our country great again is going to be prayer, seeking. It's going to be the church. So I just want us to do that just for a few minutes here, that we're going to believe God to touch. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise you, Jesus, this morning. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Pray for our leaders this morning. Pray for our leaders. But pray for the church. Pray for the church of Jesus to get back in the right direction in this country today. Oh, that he will meet us when we come together. Not just San Jacinto, but the whole church in America today. We need revival in the church. We need revival this morning. We need a revival across this land. Hallelujah. Praise you, Jesus, today. Hallelujah. Praise you, Lord. Oh, Lord, we pray, Lord, that you would just start, God, today in the churches. Oh, Lord, that you would just start pouring and stirring the hearts of your people, God, today. Lord, for we have heard the statistics that the church is declining in America. But, God, what we have here, Lord, may you start stirring, God, upon each heart. Lord, that the hearts will hear you. And Lord, that we'll start seeing an army rising up in America, God, of Christians that just got to share the gospel. Lord, that your signs and wonders once again will come and be part of the church body, Lord. Lord, that we'll just chunk all the 101 growth manuals, God, and look unto you and fix our eyes upon you once again, Lord. God, that the word will be preached, God, and nothing but the word, God, that will stir our hearts and change our lives. Lord, we pray that you'll start moving on the harvest fields and start, oh Lord, just start stirring the sinner, God, and those that are sincerely looking, God, for a change in life, looking for hope, God. We pray that you would bring them into this church body and other church bodies, God, that will be a healing station for them, Lord, that can heal them from years of abuse, God, that can heal them, God, of sicknesses and diseases, God, that, Lord, that they just can't get healing from. Lord, but most of all, Lord, that you'll heal them, God, for the condition that we all are born in, and that being lost, God, that they will find you, Lord, as their Lord and Savior, God. And Lord, that you restore lives, God, of where they felt forsaken and felt lonely, God. Maybe just abandoned by family members, a parent, God. Or Lord, we're just praying, God. You know the need, Lord, and you are the answer to all of these. But Lord, we pray, Lord, that you would heal the church, that we can be part of the healing process for others that would come around, God, we pray. Hallelujah. Oh, move in us, God, today. For we come to you, Lord. Oh, we love the country that you've given us, God. And we see the things, God, that are going on that do not honor you, God. We see the immorality, God. Lord, that is accepted in this country. We see, God, the abortion clinics, God. We see all the things, God, that this country is accepting, God. Lord, same-sex marriages and other things, God, that are totally against your word, no matter how they water it, how they twist it, God, it is not your word of God. And Lord, all of them that are finding false peace are bound to hell, God. And we're praying today, God, for a revelation, God. We're praying for an enlightenment. We're praying for a convicting power of the Holy Spirit in their lives today, God, that you would stir in them. Hallelujah. Oh, Lord, this local body, God, this church we call San Jacinto, God, I pray, Lord, that you would heal us in unity, God, and bring us together, God, in a source, God, that we can be beneficial under your kingdom to help heal those, God, that are hurting, those that are searching, God, those that come through our doors, no matter what social class they may be of, God, that they will find healing in you, Lord Jesus, today. Hallelujah. Oh, we worship you, Lord, for you're worthy. Oh, we thank you, Jesus, today. Hallelujah. We pray for our leadership, God. Lord, we're thankful, God, for President Trump, God. But, Lord, he needs to know. And we pray that you'd wake him up to the fact that it is turning back to you is what will make this country great once again. Oh, move upon him, God. Oh, Lord. Lord, there was a prophetic word that was spoken, Lord, that he'll come in proud and leave humble, God. May that humility, God, be before your throne, Father, today. Lord, that he will come into that right relationship with you, Lord. Hallelujah. Oh, we thank you, God. Oh, thank you, Jesus, this morning. Oh, we praise you, God. We worship you, Lord Jesus, today. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Thank you, God, today. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Praise you, God. Worship you, Lord. Touch each one of our hearts, God, as we pray unto you today. Oh, hallelujah. Praise you, Lord, this morning. Hallelujah. Praise you, God. Thank you, Jesus, today. Hallelujah. Would you stand with me this morning? Hallelujah. What is it to make us great again? We need God. Amen. You know, not just in our nation, but our own lives. I want to encourage you to keep praying. I want to encourage you to keep on believing that God's going to do something. You know, every time, I don't know about you, but sometimes I'm overwhelmed when the project seems big. Just this prayer meeting that was here yesterday morning, there was probably 9 Zoom meetings over an hour of prayer meeting, outline, telling us what we could do, what we couldn't do, and all that. And I text Todd, Brother Starnes, and I said, hey, general counsel, I'll probably get in trouble, it's about the only people I know that can complicate an hour of prayer. And but my deal is this, is that I was feeling overwhelmed with it. But, you know, when we start off, this is a major thing, and I'm hoping what we started yesterday is going to be like a little ignition, a little match that will start in the church. And that was what their desire was. They knew the place wouldn't be full. But how many know just a little match can start a big fire? And what I want you to do, encourage you to keep praying for our country. And little by little, may the fire go. I long to hear of crusades once again in America. How many know we need what Doug Echols does over here? In great big auditoriums or stadiums, and watch people come to the Lord. But the only way that's going to happen is the church starts praying and continues to pray and watch what takes place. Amen? That we continue to pray for our country. Lord, today we thank you for our country this morning. Lord, we're thankful that we were born into the land that they call the land of the free. But Lord, we acknowledge this morning, God, that this country exists because it was your plan, God. We don't know how or why you decided. Lord, for all, there's things that are above our pay grade, God. But Lord, we know that you, Lord, had the design for this country. And Lord, for a long time, this country, God, honored you and served you and had your word as that which was a lamp unto its feet and a light unto its path. And Lord, we're thankful that we're part of this, God, to celebrate this 250 years. But Lord, today you know we need a revival. And Lord, we know that revival starts in prayer meetings. And Lord, we're praying today that throughout this land that there'll be people that are praying for revival for this country. And Lord, we're praying that you will hear, Lord, the prayers. And Lord, that it will grow and we'll see amazing things. We pray that you will send us evangelists, God, and those that would hold crusades, God, and thousands upon thousands would be saved. And we're praying, God, for revival in the church. Now, Father, I pray today that you would put your hand of blessing upon each person here. Lord, bless them when they go out and bless them when they come in. Be with them, God, throughout this week in the workplace, God, in their homes, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen.